Visit our website at BostonBastardBrigade.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew.
Become friends with us on MySpace at MySpace.com/BostonBastardBrigade, as well as on Facebook. You can even find our Twitter accounts on our official homepage.
And don't forget to check out our friends at the Electric Sisterhood at ESH.MOBI for another side of news and review, including their own glorious podcast show.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 22.
Will somebody take the goddamn shotgun away from Anvil?
Oh, but he's still moving!
Why don't fuck that, man? You don't fucking put him out.
One more, Thomas!
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we'll sing our hearts red. For Boston, take Western's up my body. And ever with a right shot as big bombs will touch me no more in the market. For Boston, for Boston, our glory is all
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bastard Brigade. I'm King Baby Duck.
I'm Blue Onyx.
I'm Nanya.
And I'm Anvil.
Yep, and Nanya's back for another round of the Boston Bastard Brigade. She couldn't make it last week because she had a Bruins game, right?
Well, yeah, Bruins game work. Whatever.
Yeah. And you got another game coming up tonight, too, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. Game tonight.
I hate awesome. Her. I really do.
Why do you hate her?
Because she goes to Bruins and I don't. I can't afford tickets.
Well, neither can I.
don't you have like the setup where you have like two tickets and you give them to a friend or one to yourself?
No, my best friend Teresa pays for our season tickets and lets me sit next to her.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, my friend like that moved to Miami.
She's my sugar mama.
Awesome. Yeah, my sugar mama moved down to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry to hear that.
It's okay. I went to all four sports teams last year in a bunch of games. Blue hated me for it.
Yeah, I did.
So I was a jerk that called, "Dude, I'm at the game. We just got a home run." Fuck you. I'm watching.
I know. Hi, see me. The big guy on TV.
I'm behind Jason Bay right now.
Yeah, that was the worst thing. I'd be at work and watching the game online, and there he is waving at me, and I'm just like, just sitting there holding my middle finger. Can you see this? And it was like, wait, no, he can't.
What a dick.
Yeah. All right, why don't we start off with sports now?
Yes.
I actually got to see the Celtics win the championship.
Bullshit.
Fuck you.
All right, fine.
Because I got my ring, remember that.
Yeah, I know you get the ring.
Yeah.
I'll have to bring it to show Nanya sometime.
All right, sports. Sports.
Hey,
sports.
Hey, I'm walking you. Sorry.
Yo, give me a fucking bagel. Okay, now that we're done making fun of New York.
I think we should start off with Nanya.
With some Bruins goodies.
All right, so I guess this week with the Bruins, we have some big news with Mark Savard signing a 7-year deal.
Woo-hoo. $24 million, yeah.
$24 million? That about like 4.5 a year? Something like that?
I feel math.
Okay, well, in any case, it's a big deal for Mark Savard because if he had gone elsewhere, he could be making a lot more money. But he has said that he loves Boston, he wants to finish his career here, and he has worked out a contract deal that will make that happen. So.
That's right. I mean, he didn't pull a Phil Kessel and be a little bitch.
Whoa. We don't want to talk about Phil Kessel. Okay,
he's a little bitch.
Here's my theory on Phil Kessel. Peter Chiarelli made Phil Kessel look bad in the whole leaving thing when he said Phil didn't want to be a Bruin. But if they were lowballing me the way they were lowballing Phil Kessel, no pun intended, I would have walked too, because they wanted to pay him less than Krejci was making, or about the same as Krejci. And if you look at the numbers right now, Kessel, Krejci, no competition.
Agreed.
But I mean, if you look at, you know, athletes that actually truly want to be somewhere, you know, money's never been an option. Because look at Tom Brady. He took a pay cut to bring Randy Moss because he wanted to be here and he wanted a good team. Players have always done that.
But do you feel that Tom Brady feels the same way after this whole season? What's going on with that?
Yeah, this man, you know, it's what he wants. They had a bad year. He's coming off an injury. But let's stick with Bruins for a minute. We'll get to that when I get to the Patriots. Bruins, yeah.
Well, just to add on to the Phil Kessel thing, he's said a bunch of times since going to Toronto that his favorite part about Toronto is that he's in a city that actually loves hockey. And you can't really get that in Boston. You can't.
Well, after last year, you're starting to see it more.
It's bandwagoners, though.
I know. It's depressing.
Toronto has sucked for years, and they still sell out every game. Like, come on.
Well, true that. Hockey is a Canadian sport.
Well.
It's not like they have baseball. I mean, come on.
Doesn't Toronto have a baseball team?
We don't like to talk about
it. Oh, come on.
But it's like, okay, the Patriots, the Celtics, and the Red Sox, they kind of have, like, race cars when it comes to fans. The Bruins kind of have, like, a little Amish buggy.
Pretty much, yeah. Oh! It hurts, but yeah, it's true.
But truthfully, the Bruins will still make it there quicker than anybody else, because, you know, when the other people are filling up on gas, there goes the horse and buggy.
So it's basically the tortoise and the hare.
Sure.
When I'm basically at work and the campus police want me to get the whole TV up and running, they always ask for the Celtics. Even if it's a night that Bruins are just completely playing and there's like, is the Celtics on? No, the Celtics aren't fucking on.
But hey, how many times
do I explain this? There is the Bruins. Oh, I don't want to see people on ice, you know, traveling around trying to get a piece of puck in, or rubber or something into a net. I can't really care for it. I'm like, well, I can't really care for the guys playing basketball too much either.
Because they're just throwing a piece of rubber around.
Yeah, them. Exactly.
I mean, so, hockey is two sports put together, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You have hockey, and you have boxing.
And you see, your friends need to get that whole boxing part into their heads.
Yeah, they do. It is pretty fun. Yeah.
I wish I could say mixed martial arts, but that would that would make hockey a little more violent than anybody wants.
Yeah, but no, it's
a little more bloody
Remember last year when that poor goalie got struck upside the throat? Remember that?
Oh. It was the second time that's ever happened.
I know, I've seen both of them.
All I can think of right now is the scene in Happy Gilmore. It's like, I'm the first guy in the record books to try to stab another player with his hockey geese.
Exactly what I was thinking.
All right, so let's move on in Bruin news.
Moving on in Bruins news. Wednesday, the Lightning, we beat them to a little pulp. And then, I don't know if there was a game last night. I don't think so.
No, I heard there was some charity event where they let some special people just score on them.
Yeah, like that. I don't know. I think
it was sponsored by the Special Olympics.
Oh, okay. All right.
Hey, actually, you know, let's get this right. They're Canadian. They're not that special.
Oh.
Just going to say, if I was a Bruins fan in Montreal last night, I would have been wearing a paper bag over my head. Yeah.
Actually, I heard a guy did commit suicide after.
Oh. Really?
No, but if I was there, probably. So, Wednesday, we went 4-1. Last night, we lost 5-1. And one of the gentlemen from Canada had a hat trick.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
I would say his name, but I can't pronounce it for the life of me.
Who was it?
Cottarelli, Cattarelli, I don't know.
And
he had a bunch of
Cottarelli
and O's and
Cottarelli.
It was like this long.
Jeez.
Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious.
His name was so long that when he was skating for a goal, Shaq was attached to him because they needed to borrow Shaq's back for his last name.
Jesus.
Hey, at least that's not one of the longest names I've actually seen.
Fuck?
The longest name I've seen in sports belongs to the catcher for the Texas Rangers, and his name's Jared Saltalamacchia.
Oh, shit. Wow. That motherfucker wraps around his, like, whole jersey.
It starts at the bottom and works all the way around and down again.
Really?
Takes a three-fourths way down
big
the
big fucking
U
on the back for his name. It's ridiculous.
Actually, I think he's a really good player, though.
Now, you were talking about your favorite goalie of the Bruins. You think he's still injured?
Yes.
Yes. Tim Thomas. Something's wrong with him.
He suffered that upper body injury early on. To me, from what I saw, it looked like it might have been some broken ribs, and he rushed back without letting the muscles and tendons heal. Just because the bones heal doesn't mean everything else is. And most of the goals that are being scored on him are coming from that side. And it looks like he can't just flex his body like he used to.
I agree. I've seen players come back from bad injuries and whatnot, and it takes a lot of time for him to heal. He took way too little time to sit back and relax and let the muscles regenerate.
See, personally, I've been playing sports, mainly football, for the last 10 years. I've broken bones, and yes, I've rushed back too soon, too. Thankfully, when I broke my ribs, it was on the right side, and I play right side DN, so I got bent to my left, and it was okay.
Mm.
It was only when the running back went running the other way.
Yeah.
That was hilarious. I died here. Oh, I'm okay. Oh,
yeah, so
mommy.
More or less with Tim Thomas, he's not able to, do his famous diving saves that he usually pulls off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, the goalie that we have for backup is...
Tukaresk is very... He's nasty.
He's awesome.
Mm-hmm. I'll admit, I saw him outside the garden the other day, and I got giddy. He's so tall and skinny.
She got so giddy that, you know, one of those pleated schoolgirl uniforms just happened to appear on her.
Yeah. That happens to me sometimes. Yes. It does happen sometimes.
It does.
No shit.
It's okay. Especially happens at Anime Boston.
Oh, yeah. I fangirl a lot.
Awesome.
I fangirl all the time.
Yeah.
Now, truthfully, I wish we had Tukaresk last year because he's so much better than Manny Fernandez.
Manny Fernandez did well in the beginning of the season, though.
He did, but at the end, he was letting 5-6 goals a game.
Well, at the end, yeah, but I mean, it was still enough that him and Thomas got that award for...
Well, Thomas barely allowed shit last year.
Oh, Thomas was amazing last year.
I mean, he pitched so many shutouts last year, it wasn't even funny.
Fernandez had a few, too, though. In his defense.
Well, you know, he mainly was in the net for really sucky teams.
Well.
Come on. There was a game that they pulled Fernandez from the goal, and the guy was sitting right in front of it, takes a slap shot with nobody around him, went over the net. Come on.
Well, that's us now.
No.
On empty nets.
At least we were shooting from a distance. This guy, nobody was around him, and he was 5 feet away.
And when are you guys going to win a game that doesn't go into overtime?
Actually, the 4-1 win on Wednesday.
Oh, finally.
The 4-1 was, yeah, like the first time in like 9 games, I think.
Yeah, something like that.
About fucking time.
Well, the one that scared me was, I think it was the Ottawa Center, whatever it was.
Ottawa.
It was the scariest fucking thing coming down to the end of that. They had the fucking open goal. And it was just like, one miss, two miss, three miss, what the fuck are you doing?
And then
they tied it up like last 45 seconds of the game.
14.9.
Something like that.
Not the first time Thomas has done that, mind you.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably like his sixth time he's done that.
And I just was fucking flipping.
And he's too good of a goalie for that, and you can actually see how angry he gets at himself.
Yeah. Oh, I've seen Tim Thomas shake the net, throw his stick. I've seen him flip out.
I love when he gets angry and swings.
And it's good that he gets upset at himself, not at his other teammates.
Yeah, but I remember like they had one set up where I think they replayed it over and over again. He took his stick and just snapped it over the net and just skated off as fast as he could. He was so pissed.
I think that was the St. Louis game last season.
Yeah, it's probably
Bam!
And those sticks are, you know, hard to break and stuff like that. I mean, I've been in goal for street hockey a lot, and that is, you know, not that easy to break because it's thick. And where he snapped it, it was ridiculous.
Yeah.
I would not want to get him pissed off.
No.
No.
Give him a baseball bat.
Well, or Tukaresk last season. Any of you guys see that?
No.
A little bit,
minor league, it was for the Providence Bruins, really two bad goals that shouldn't have been goals that the ref said were goals. Tukaresk flips out, tosses his stick across the rink like a boomerang, goes down the hallway to the locker room and just starts tossing milk crates onto the ice. It's hilarious.
Truthfully, I have an awesome idea, though. And I don't know if you guys agree, but we've all seen the way Tim Thomas swings that stick, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I think we have our new power hitter for the Red Sox.
Yeah, exactly.
Give him a bat, let him swing at that ball. Come on.
The Red Sox, do they need one?
Yeah. We need another power
hitter. We need another one.
Actually, if Jason Bay might be gone.
If we get Hideki Matsui.
No.
Why not?
Too old.
He still hits the home runs like crazy.
Doesn't matter. He's never been good at Fenway Park.
How are we doing on the Bruins? Are we all set with them?
I think so.
Okay. All right.
Well,
so, what about the Red Sox? Because of the whole thing that we just picked up, actually.
Okay, yes. Now, earlier this week, we lost, you know, Alex Gonzalez to Toronto. Because they want to stack up shortstops. Well, we said, fuck you, bitches, and we stole their shortstop. Now, Alex Gonzalez played only about 30 games with us last year. We stole one of the best shortstops out there. We got him playing shortstop. But Jason Bay is now probably going to go to Seattle. I know.
He's going to be with Ichiro.
Ichiro, and there's, you know, some other good guys out there, so...
Yeah.
Is that where Ichiro went?
Ichiro's been there, yeah.
Oh, okay, well, what about...
And Griffey. Griffey's back for another year.
But isn't he just a designated hitter, basically?
Yeah, doesn't matter. That's a bet right there.
Designated bitch, but anyways, What about what's his name that was coming off the Yankees there? One of the Japanese.
Matsui.
Do we have him? We officially have him? No.
Well, not yet.
We haven't talked to him.
We have.
I thought there was.
I read on ESPN that they were talking to him. That John Henry or.
No, not the team on official capacity. They've obviously. They talked to everybody, but not on official capacity.
So it was just kind of like...
Yeah, it was, you know, laid back, you know, let's, you know, go smoke some crack.
Or, yeah.
No.
Let's go drink some sake.
Do karaoke.
Well, anyways, back to the Sox.
After the show, I do have a question about that for you.
Okay.
But yeah, so, I mean, the Red Sox, you know, they're looking like they're in good shape. We did lose two pitchers. Mm. We lost Takashi Saito and Billy Wagner, both to the Braves.
Ooh.
But Wagner was hit and miss. Takashi Saito didn't pitch so well. Mm. Send him to the National League, they might have some success.
You still got Wakefield.
Exactly.
God damn it. I do respect the knuckleball. It's just that I'm just kind of tired because I don't know. It's one of those things, like I said earlier, kind of like when I watch the Bruins, they usually lose or something like that. This is that whole setup where it's like, every time I watch Tim Wakefield, he fucking sucks.
Well, I don't know. Last year, he only lost three games, so I mean...
I guess those were the only three games that I fucking watched with him.
Tim Wakefield knows his age and everything, and I bet that if this season's not that good for him, he's going to retire.
He's in a two-year contract. He's retiring after the contract.
Exactly. Oh, okay.
He's already said this will be his final contract.
Oh, good.
Moving on, the Celtics played last night. And they won.
Whoop ass.
Ooh, yes. We're all impressed. This is what we've come to expect from the Celtics.
Yeah.
A win? You sound so unenthusiastic.
No, they're on a 6-game winning streak. Now, if they pulled what the New Jersey Nets did, then, you know, I think we might talk some more. New Jersey, I'll give a round of applause for New Jersey.
They actually did something good for a change?
Yeah, they won their first game of the season.
Good
shit. Their head coach already got fired when they went 0-16. Now they're 1-18.
Speaking of coaches that got fired, your Notre Dame coach?
Fuck you, and it's Notre Dame.
We're
not in France.
Come on.
If it was in France, it would be Notre Dame.
Yes, Charlie Weiss got fired from the University of Notre Dame. Fuck you! I'm okay. And now, I know me and Blue watch some college football, but I don't know about the rest of you. There's this coach, Manglin, I don't know how to pronounce his name, whatever. Manglin,
something like that.
It's Mark Manglin or something, head coach for the University of Kansas. This man is about the size of Blue's truck. No lie.
That's a huge bitch.
He's a big dude. He just resigned amidst allegations that he was physically and psychologically abusing his players by throwing them around.
He was giving them the pimp smack too. He was saying, "Where's my fucking money?" But anyways,
What do you do when the
hoe
don't give up?
Put the baby. He's got to choke
a bitch. You keep your pimp hands.
Yeah,
down.
You go. That or choke the bitch.
What happens when your girl says no? Choke a bitch. Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Well, let's go to sports. Stop joking around. We can save that for later.
Yes.
Yep.
Because, you know, my big pound ain't here for my pimp hand.
Yeah.
Now let's move on to football.
Football.
Now, we got a divisional game this week. We're playing the Miami Dolphins.
Oh, snizzle.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. All right, so anyways.
I don't know what that was, and I feel bad for the animal, whatever, getting shoved up its anus.
It's one of those zoo.
That's it.
It sat on a Zuzu and running through its colors.
So what's going on with the Dolphins there? Are they
the Dolphins are the Dolphins.
They're fucking up.
They suck now.
They're like the Lions?
Dolphins.
They can only win with that Wildcat, and Ronnie Brown's done for the year. Their Wildcat just went to the vet and they clipped its claws.
Oh,
and it was defanged.
Sounds like they need to resurrect Dan Marino. I mean, no. Or otherwise bring up, what's his name from the Florida Gators?
Tim Tebow. Which I will be getting to that in a minute. But no, like, I'm a huge football fan. It's, you guys probably haven't figured out.
No.
No.
No. What, you?
I know, right?
You?
That's the surprise.
Really?
I don't know. I thought, you know, playing 10 years was just something that, you know, was fun to do. But, no, the Patriots, you know, they'll have a decent time with them. They won't have an easy time because, you know, it's still divisional. Miami plays harder. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be a good game. But I want to get to an even bigger game, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. It's at 4 o'clock today. And I'm making my opinion and my prediction.
Okay.
The SEC championship game. The number one and number two team in the country. Usually this is, you know, who plays for the national championship. There's only one problem. They both come from the same division and they can't play in the national championship because they have to play each other for their divisional championship. So whoever wins today will go to the national championship, and most likely Texas will be playing. And it's at the Florida Gators versus the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Oh, wow.
Whoa. Tim Tebow, Heisman candidate against Mark Ingram, running back for Alabama, who's also a Heisman candidate. Yes, sir.
So do you think the Gators are going to surf the tide, or is the tide going to drown the Gator?
Ooh, whoa. That's good. That's nice.
That's not bad.
That's slick. I mean,
well, let's just say, last time I heard of a Crimson Tide, it needs to get plugged up.
Yeah.
Ooh. Gross.
What?
No.
Oh, you got dirty.
Man, I told you shouldn't explain the Red Wing.
Yeah, but she went dirty with that joke.
Yeah, I know.
That's where you were going.
No,
with it.
I just said their star player is a running back.
What?
So a running back runs through a hole. They got to plug it up on defense. That's the only way to win.
Wow!
You are a bastard, sir.
See, I use clever word analogies, and she takes it dirty. And
at least she didn't be like, yeah, you're going to go and plug that shit up like a tampon or something. Then he would have been like, that's a bastard. But she had a dirty mind on that. I have to agree. Okay.
You're the bastard. You're the bastard.
They still didn't have that dirty mind.
But look at this. She's putting her hoodie on in embarrassment. Look at that. Aww. She's like a little hikikomori in the little corner.
All right, all right. So back to what's at hand.
My prediction is the Florida Gators will win, go to the national championship, and win it again. And Tim Tebow's the man.
Yep.
Your prediction is all Tim right, Tebow well, is
but,
the man.
But
that's right.
But the whole concept of this pass game, it was...
Oh, that's a pass.
Yeah, I
well,
know.
Well, we don't talk about the past around here.
I don't know, man. I think we have to get some closure on this one.
Okay.
I wrote an article on it.
That's it.
That's it. That's your closure.
Hey, listen. I almost punched three people writing that article.
But that's not your job. You're used to that shit. Ah, you took off the fucking ring. Not again.
No cracking. No cracking.
No cracking. That actually creeps Nenya out a bit.
Yeah, oh, no,
not again.
No.
Oh, no.
No.
All right, back to the fucking thing.
All right.
All right, Frankenstein.
Well, no, I just have to say that Tom Brady was not his Tom Brady self. You know, he seemed like he didn't even want to get...
The defense was good for the Saints, and the sad part is our secondary isn't.
Yeah.
The Patriots have the problem of they try to cover up front on defense, but not the secondary. I mean, we had at one point what I considered, you know, the two best corners, or the best corner tandem ever, which was Ellis Hobbs and Asante Samuels. They're both with Philly. When we had Ty Law, we got rid of him. We don't cover deep because they think our front guys are the, you know, the shit. Yeah, they're the shit. But when you play a really good team and you can't get in, they're going to throw all over you.
Yeah.
And the sad part is they give the most offensive weapons in the entire league. But they don't give any defensive weapons to the best defensive mind football has ever had. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that's their fault.
Yeah, but the other thing is, once Tom Brady threw that fucking interception, I think he was just done. He was just like, you know
oh,
what?
Okay. I'm done. I'm throwing in the towel. I'm going in the locker room.
Just throw in the second guy or something like that, because it seemed like he just wasn't in the game. I mean, yeah, he was able to get, like, maybe one more touchdown after that, but it was just, like, it turned to absolute crap. And there was some shit, you know, calls from the refs again.
Well, there always is. We were away. Right. Saints are a good team. We knew that. Come playoffs, it's completely different. It's a whole different ball game. Brady's been down this road, mm-hmm. and we go into the promised land.
Yeah.
Hallelujah!
And that's coming from an atheist, people.
That's right. I will now start, as an atheist, I'm going to start my own church called the Church of Sports. You will listen to me preach sports.
I've heard about these churches with the giant Superdome setup.
Actually, I really think I should. Would you guys come to my church if all I did was talk about sports? No. And show highlights?
No.
No.
Why?
Because.
I'd still be saying
your God. Fuck you!
I would still be saying your God is wrong, but anyways, that's just me.
Sports is not wrong.
No, sports isn't wrong. It's just that the whole concept, because it's a church. And it would probably have to think that there would be gods because of the Hall of Fame.
Vince Lombardi.
Yeah, exactly.
No.
Our Lombardi, for art in heaven.
They are not gods. They are men.
Yeah.
They are great men. These are just great men. They are not gods. They never flew across the football field. Well, Barry Sanders kind of did, but we're not going to discuss that one.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I remember that hit he took. That poor man was straight up off the ground and flew back about 4 yards.
Yeah. Well, before we move on to the next subject, let's talk about how Tiger Woods likes to play with his wood.
Okay.
Yeah.
I go to MMA after
this. It's a little personal.
Why?
Well, no, it's not really because, well, this whole car accident thing that happened, we're just trying to figure out what happened to the whole concept of why the fuck it happened in the first place. But the other thing is that they're saying that he didn't have alcohol in his breath, but he was a little fucked up. All but right. he smashed into a fire hydrant right in.
I'm going to give my opinion.
Okay.
I believe Mr. Woods went out with a female friend, you know, to have a normal, nice chat. And he wound up playing golf and scored a hole-in-one. Well, he got home after scoring this hole-in-one and tried to score another hole-in-one with his wife. Well, she found out, and I think she beat the shit out of him. Because, yeah. You know, he had a bloody lip, a black eye, and I think he went running out of the house with no shoes on, hopped in his car, and when he went to drive away, she smashed out the window, he turned scared and hit that fire hydrant. That's what I believe.
And I hear the new Grand Theft Auto game's going to star his wife.
Oh, wow.
That's right. She's a Swedish beater.
Yeah.
The Swedish beater. You can't really. How can you cheat on a Swedish girl?
Why would you want to cheat on that woman? She is gorgeous.
Oh, Jesus.
But let's move off this. There's going to be an MMA fight.
Okay.
UFC 107.
Fuck yeah.
Big fight. Penn versus Sanchez.
Yeah, I was talking about that.
The Prodigy versus the Nightmare.
Okay. Because I saw this commercial for this fight. I sent it to you. And you said you were going to do some research on it.
Now, I've seen both these fighters fight for a long time. And normally we do our little bets around here. We're not going to do it this time.
Yeah, because I think Blahnik's getting broke.
Well, you that, and I don't want to run around in a dress.
Well, no, there's another reason why I refuse to do a bet.
It's okay, I don't want you to run around in a dress either.
I think
give you a hug, but you're too far away.
Are way too good. This is going to be a great fight, in my opinion, and I refuse to choose a winner. Because, in my opinion, if these two fight the way that they're capable of, I think at the end of the match, both their hands should be raised. Because these two fighters are too good that this could be an epic battle.
Epic.
Yes, that's right. Epic.
Double knockout.
I would love... No, actually, I would not like to see that.
Oh, come on. It'd be like, okay, these two are equals.
Is this kind of like the Batman-Joker kind of thing? You know, like, one's a... You know, can't stop, and then the other one's the immovable force, and they come together, and it's like it's going to be a neutral setting or something like that.
Exactly, it's just going to be a perfect fight.
Yeah,
I would rather.
But I do look forward to the Strike Force one with
yes.
Kung Lee.
Yes,
oh,
yes.
Dude, that's going to be fucking awesome.
Which will be the 19th. Next week is the other fight for UFC, but you know, I decided to talk about it today. Just because I felt like...
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm the sports guy. I can do it.
All right. On to movies. And Anvil, Blahnik, and I went and saw Armored, starring Matt Dillon, Jean Reno, and Lawrence Fishburne.
Well, there was a hell of a lot more. There was... what's his name from Scream? I can't remember the name.
Yeah.
He was the one who played the murder.
And then there was, you know, the guy that played Sucre from Prison Break.
Yeah.
Yeah. I barely recognized him in this role. I was surprised. I was like, wait, is that who I think it is? And I was like, holy crap, it is. He looks different with a beard.
Yeah, he does.
Well, actually, if you watch some of the later episodes of Prison Break, he actually had one.
Oh, okay. Because I stopped watching it the last season.
I look different with a beard.
Yes, you do.
Well, there's a reason why she's also called Mustachio.
Oh. Hey, we don't want to talk about my mustache. You guys are all jealous because my mustache is cooler than yours.
I just shaved this morning.
I brought him to a nightclub and they looked and said, "Sorry, sir, we don't have a cabin up here."
Or otherwise they were just like, "No, we don't need Chewbacca." Anyway.
Oh, I can't do it.
That was good.
Yeah. Now, basically, in my opinion, this was a good movie. I was surprised that I liked this film. However, the issue is that there have been movies with similar stories like this beforehand.
Bullshit!
Come on.
Bullshit.
Admit it.
Bullshit.
Well, why is it bullshit?
Because you're wrong.
Well, how many times have we seen, like, these movies in the 70s come out, and, like, they have, like, you know, kind of stuff like the bank heist or something like that, and it has kind of ideas that goes, you know, along like that. But
and then there's another movie coming out later on about a bank heist, and it's also going to star Matt Dillon.
Yeah, and that's called The Takers.
The Takers.
Okay.
So he's going to be able to rob banks sometime in the future then?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, it's okay.
Well, actually, Matt Dillon on this one, he's actually going to be playing the police officer, but to Anvil.
Okay, thank you. The difference between robbing a bank and robbing your own armored truck is hugely different.
You're still stealing money, though.
$42 million makes it different. $42 million.
All right.
Dude, I would do it for $42 million. Retire. I'm 23 and I can retire.
You gotta take into the whole place that there was about, what, six guys on this whole thing, and you'd have to split up that $42 million.
That's still about $8-9 million apiece.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal.
And you could still retire with $8-9 million.
But the whole concept to go through this movie I think Anvil agrees with me, but I thought this was a really good one. I mean, I wouldn't mind buying the DVD, seeing that the King says
nah. No, I wouldn't buy it. I usually buy DVDs of classics. I don't see this appearing in American Movie Classics or Turner Classic Movies anytime soon.
Well, I'm sorry. Last time I saw a new movie on there was from 1969.
Basically.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and, you know, maybe 40 years down the road it will be.
No, they played The Edge with Anthony Hopkins and Alec Baldwin.
Well, that was different. They were doing, you know, the tribute to Anthony Hopkins.
Yeah, that's totally different.
You know, he got, like,
an award.
Yeah, an award for being one, you know, Lifetime Achievement Award.
Oh, okay.
So that's the reason they did that. That's different.
All right.
But for the people that don't know.
Oh, I did see Jackie Brown on there, too.
Okay.
Well, besides Jackie Brown, moving on. The fuck.
For the people that don't know, it stars a man. His name is, you know, they only call him Hackett.
Hackett. Buddy Hackett.
No, not Buddy.
His name is Ty.
Thank you. Ty Hackett.
I have Wikipedia.
She wikied.
Wiki, wak, wak.
I'm going to kill you. Shut up.
All right. Ty Hackett and his brother, Jimmy. And basically, he's in training to be an armored car personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, they're going to lose their house because they're poor. Their parents passed away that year.
Mm-hmm.
Damn economy.
Yeah. Especially with the damn economy.
Mm-hmm. And they have bank people that are being retarded. And considering he moved their money, because he makes the comment, and then when he's carrying a bag of money out of a bank, hey, this is the bank that's trying to take my home.
Yeah.
And this man is an American hero.
Yeah.
Served in Iraq, won the Silver Star.
Killed some people.
Yes.
Yeah.
He did the deed. So, you know, he gets his job, and there's a plan for the entire group to steal $42 million. Well, it all goes south very quickly, because there was a promise made of nobody getting hurt.
Well, fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately, somebody gave Lawrence Fishburne a shotgun.
Yeah.
And too many people get shot.
Oh, no.
So, you know, we get a homeless guy, you know, and...
And John Renault's character acknowledges, I believe his name is Quinn in the
thing, but Quinn.
What it is he noticed when they were moving the money into a special hiding place, he looks up and there is a homeless person sticking back. There's a whole, like, looking back at him and everything like that, and that whole setup starts up them going and trying to capture this guy and this kind of parkour running around and everything like that, which was pretty cool. And then... Lawrence goes and fucking rocks him with a shotgun. And it was
Cowboy Curtis takes out his sharpshooter.
Oh, great.
Oh, Lord.
God damn it. Anyways, but it was a very sexy shotgun, I have to say.
It was beautiful. Yeah,
it was a beautiful shotgun.
That scope on it was, oh my God.
Hey, remember, the bigger the shotgun, the smaller the,
pistol. Yeah, the pistol. No,
the bigger the gun, the smaller the pistol.
Yeah, they're overcompensating for something. But it was definitely, they had the funny parts on there. And it felt kind of like, no matter what, they never took the damn fucking shotgun away from him. So I was just like, it was the first one they shoot the homeless man, and then the police officer comes along, and, the main character who's stuck in the vehicle because he's trying to, stop them from stealing the money because they killed the homeless guy. And he sets off the alarm again from inside the vehicle, and that, warns the police officer. And Lawrence Fishburne shoots again, so it's like, what the fuck? Didn't you learn the first time? Get the shotgun away from him.
I have to give the graphics on that part really awesome, because it was a hip kidney shot area. Bled out well. The wound looked real. I thought it was kind of awesome.
And Anvil likes his realism.
Yes. I mean, if you're going to do a movie like this, I don't want to sit there and be like, ooh, let me go home and take some paste out, put it on, mix it pink, and oh my God, I have the same wound.
Yeah.
There's other injuries in here that looked so realistic that I actually saw somebody look like they were gonna vomit.
Yeah.
I even gotta say, even when the guy injured his hand when he was trying to smack it, that looked real too.
Yes.
Yeah, they did a pretty good job with that too.
To a point, that's one part that I actually was getting ready to mention that disappointed me. Because if you look at the instrument they were using when it came down, it only tore it up.
Yeah.
That should have shredded the bone. It should have broken his hand.
Really?
Because if you look, it was fully riveted around. That should have torn his hand straight down.
Well, yeah, but that was also like this big, kind of auger corkscrew kind of setup. Yeah. It was a big nail, basically, and then they had that whole setup. I don't know. I thought it was really stupid how they were taking it along.
Yeah.
I don't know, when the main character figured out about the bottom to get out of, I was just like, why the fuck, didn't these guys think about that? I mean, these motherfuckers have been working for that company for so long. Why couldn't they have figured out we could pop that open or do something to it? Because...
Well, you have to think of how hard that would be to actually rip that panel off. Because, who really thinks of taking and, doing it the way that he did?
Well, yeah, he did take a car to it, but it was very impressive. I was impressed with
him. I want to know how they didn't notice him going up.
Well, because he was able to, he was able to do a lot of things where he got their attention the other way, or he was able to... And a lot of them, they, that's the thing where they were saying, we're the good guys, but really they're the bad guys. And the other thing was, they seemed to be either offing themselves or, offing each other. So it was one of those kind of things.
Although you never really find out what happens to the guy who jumps off the building.
Yeah, they never showed him.
Well, you have to assume, if you look at how high he went up, that was about a 4-story drop.
You can still survive that.
A 4-story drop? If you land feet first... Actually, if you land feet first, your leg bones are going to be forced straight up through your body.
Okay.
This isn't Will Ferrell, buddy.
Yeah. Unfortunately, actually, I sort of wish they showed it, because I think it would be awesome to actually watch the bones just disintegrate up.
Then they would upgrade it to an R rating, and the little kiddies need to watch this movie.
Yeah,
well, it was still PG-13.
Right? Yeah. They saved the one fuck that they're allowed in the PG-13 movie for the guy.
Actually.
There was a dude-on-dude sex scene?
What? Why did you think of that?
I don't know. He said he saved it for the guy. So I'm like, well, obviously there'd be a guy in there. Like,
no, the expletive fuck, not the fuck, not fucking.
Oh.
You've been playing too much of that new Dragon Age game, haven't you?
She just realized there were actually no women in the entire movie.
There's no women in
the
movie?
No, there is one. The woman that the child...
Well, no, she don't count. She looked like a man and she was a bitch.
Dude looked like a lady, yeah.
But she don't count.
Maybe a lady looked like a dude?
Either way.
Yeah.
It was it was horrible.
There's words for that woman, one of them I refuse to say, because I think it's very demeaning towards women.
Starts with a C, don't it?
And ends with a T.
Oh, okay.
And then on in the middle.
All right. There's a lady at the table.
Yes, there is.
Ooh.
Oh!
You're allowed one punch. Go ahead, punch him, punch
him. No, because he's not even going to feel it. Then he'd make fun of me, because it wouldn't be like a punch. It would be like me going like,
no, come on, come on. Let's see what you got.
Okay, go ahead. Do it.
Do it.
No, really. I can't hurt. I don't want to hit people. Don't. You don't need to prove that to me by stabbing yourself with a pen.
I'm not stabbing myself with a pen.
Anyways, back to the what's going on. I want to just go around the table for the three who actually saw the movie.
I give it a thumbs up.
Okay, we got one thumbs up. I give it two. And Anvil gives it two while scraping on his nipples with his knuckles. That was kind of creepy.
It was kind of creepy.
Fine, come here.
No! Get away from me.
I'm kidding.
I don't know where those fingers have been.
Yeah, exactly.
Why did you guys make me sit next to him?
I'm sorry.
Hey, I said sit over there. I said, that's okay.
I'm touching the Nenya. No, Icky's.
All right, we're just going to hop over. We're going to hop over to movies now.
You mean music?
Music, sorry.
All right. The new Pillows album, Ooh Parts. Now, the Pillows were my gateway band into the Japanese music scene. They were like the first group that made me open up my eyes and go, there's something going on in Japan with their rock, and I need to see how awesome it is. Question?
I have an issue. You want to go to my house and sleep tonight so I can sleep here?
No.
Because if your pillows play music, man, and my pillows don't.
Middle finger was shown.
Mine are just soft and don't make any noise.
No, but also seeing that the pillows were your gateway drug to, you know,
Japanese
music.
I knew it.
I'm sorry, you're going to have to start going to AA now.
That's NA, man.
Oh, right, NA, I'm sorry.
AA is alcohol.
Pillows.
Narcotics Anonymous.
Okay.
It's a joke.
All right.
Addiction is not a joke, though.
But this is their 17th studio album, and it was released for their 20th anniversary. Ooh. Now, their last album, Pied Piper, which was out last year, was on my top Japanese albums list. The opening track was called Dance with God. It was slow-paced, but it had a very good hard-rocking chorus. And it was quite a good opening track for the Pillows. And sometimes the Pillows have a hard time with figuring out, like, what would be a good opening track for them, because they've had some bumps here and there when it comes to the first song on the album.
Yikes.
But this one was pretty good. Then the next song that came up was called Your Order, and the opening of the song was entirely in English. However, it was kind of hard to understand. It was a little bit too broken. It sounded like Sawa, who the lead singer and guitarist of the band, maybe could have taken a couple more takes to do this English part.
Wow.
I could even understand the Japanese better than the English. Wow. I'm sorry. However, it was still a good track nonetheless. Then came a song called Melody, which was a traditional track of theirs. This was very reminiscent of their olden days of Little Busters, Please Mr. Lost Man, Runner's High, and Happy Bivouac. The music from the Fooly Cooly.
What?
A kick-ass Japanese cartoon that we have to strap Anvil down to watch.
Clockwork Orange is in the favor of that.
Are we using Velcro or leather restraints?
Leather.
Awesome!
And also the eye.
Why am I sitting next to him?
It's your fault.
Hi, Ned.
See, this is what we like to do best. Make people feel uncomfortable around us.
Now, going back to the English, the Pillows have not one, but two full English tracks on their album. Lemon Drops, which was a lot more understandable than their Your Order opening, and probably their most coherent English track since their 2002 song Rain Brain. Ooh. But then there was another song called Life Size Life, and it wasn't as understandable as Lemon Drops, but it's still a fun English track. But again, it was another one of those instances where the lead singer should have maybe gone a little bit slower and with his pronunciation. Another key track of the song was Beyond the Moon, which was probably one of this year's best Japanese songs. It's very beautiful. It's quite a good romantic rock song.
Ooh, like a ballad.
I wouldn't say a ballad, maybe somewhere in between.
Okay.
All right. And then another good song on the album, I'm going to butcher this, but it was their recent single, Amera Gare ni Mita Maboroshi.
You did that perfectly.
That's good job, Billy.
What they told me it was.
Okay. Let me see.
Yeah, something about an American and a shooting star?
Yep.
My Japanese isn't too rusty.
Pretty good.
So I'm not going to get tetanus from stepping on your Japanese?
Oh.
Ooh. That joke almost didn't make sense.
Now, the album as a whole, it just doesn't seem to piece together. It feels more like a collection of songs without a flow in between. The songs on their own, though, they're pretty good. And they vary in the different rock genres, whether it's just regular rock, alt rock, maybe a little grunge rock, and one or two pop rock tracks.
Don't sound so disappointed.
I don't sound disappointed, but for a grade, I'm just going to give it one thumb up. It's not as strong as previous albums. It's still an enjoyable listen, but for their 20th anniversary, I would have expected a little bit better. Question?
Yes. What kind of pop rocks are they? Why are you flipping me off? You said they had pop rocks.
Pop rock tracks.
Pop rock.
Oh. Pop rock.
I thought tracks. You were talking about yummy candy that fizzles.
No. Oh.
Is that all you ever think about is food?
No.
Well, let's see.
I think about other things too.
All right.
Well,
like football. you dirty guy.
What about? Okay, we've basically finished up what we have down for notes, but. Nenya, why don't we talk a little bit about a certain comedy troupe that you and I are really big fans of?
Oh, yeah?
The Mighty Boosh.
The Mighty Boosh.
It's Noel Felding and Julian Barnett. They're the main people. Vince Noir and Howard Moon.
Yeah.
Now, they basically started out as a little comedy troupe, and they have more side characters like Bolo, the talking gorilla, and then we have Naboo, the Enigma, is it? What he's considered to be?
He's a shaman, isn't he?
I thought he was called Naboo the Enigma.
I don't know his official name.
They started out as a comedy troupe, then they moved on to a BBC radio series, and then they were given their show by Mr. Steve Coogan. Now, for those of you who don't know who Steve Coogan is, he played the miniature Roman guard in the Night in the Museum movies.
Motherfucker.
Cool. And he's old and awesome.
And he also has a great show called, I believe it's called I'm Alan Partridge.
Who would want to be Alan Partridge?
It's a quasi-talk show fake thing. It's like the British Larry Sanders.
Oh, Frasier.
Whoa!
You couldn't pick some cooler name, though?
Whoa! Get something from the Nanya!
I'm just, doing some Wikipedia here. I did not know that... The actor who plays Naboo, Michael Felding, is Noel Felding's brother.
Yep.
I had no idea. Whoa.
Yes.
Look at that. Let's give her credit. She did math. She put two together.
Yep.
And then, nice to me, okay?
But
yeah, I'm so mad you're in the Bruins.
After they got popular, they were given their first TV show where Vince and Howard were zookeepers.
Yes.
With Mr. Bob Fossil, who couldn't name animals. Like, there was... The pandas, who are the black and white Chinese people that eat sticks. I believe frogs were the hippy hoppity green pants men.
Did they have Hip Hop Anonymouses?
No, not Hip Hop Anonymous.
What?
Oh, no, Hippo was my wife.
Wait. King, when did you get married?
No, that's what Bob Fossil said.
I thought you were making fun of your
wife. You know, my wife. You mean the hippopotamus? Yes!
So my favorite part about the actor who plays Bob Fossil, Rich Fulcher, he is American, but he fits into this British style of comedy so well.
He does.
He's hilarious.
And what's interesting, too, is this guy could be walking around America, and probably not a lot of people will notice him.
Oh, sure.
If he's in Britain... There'd probably be people chasing after him.
Oh, I would run up on the streets and be like, hello.
Hello. And doing the nipple dance.
The nipple dance.
No.
Love squeezes.
Okay.
And then I think it was during the second season where they found their niche, where they became a lot more creative with their stuff. And that's where you got to see the characters like Old Greg is... Everybody's favorite transsexual mermaid.
Is he transsexual?
Nobody
knows. He's got a downstairs mix-up.
Yep. I'm all gray. I have a vagina. I got a mangina.
Yes, be afraid.
And it shines a light out so he can always find his keys.
I'm confused, but it's okay.
And let's see, one of my other favorite characters in the show, it's another character that Noel Felding, I believe, plays, Tony Harrison. He's the little tentacled guy with the tits for head.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yep.
Head boo.
Oh, it's an outrage.
Very inappropriate. But yeah. funny.
Can people really have head boobs?
Little Nicky.
No, real people.
No.
Gross. Unless they're tumors, in which case they should go see a doctor.
That's fucked up.
the reason we're talking about the Mighty Boosh here, my friend?
Yes. Well, I figured because some people don't know about the Mighty Boosh. And secondly, a book just came out in America, finally. It's been out for almost a year in the UK, but it's finally out in America, The Mighty Book of Boosh. I was showing this to Nenya, and at first I figured it was like a coffee table book, but it's not. There are stories, there are behind-the-scenes stuff, there are photos.
There's lots of words in it.
Lots of words on it. And it's like another chapter, literally another chapter of The Mighty Boosh. It's not like, okay, this is just like a collaboration of all three seasons. No, this is like chapter 4. Or series 4, season 4, in book form.
Yes, I could agree with that. Mm-hmm. It does feel almost like its own season.
Yeah, because you can be sitting here. This book will probably take you days to read.
I'm sure it will.
And I had the bad misconception of calling it a coffee table book. What would you call it?
A book. A book. No, I guess it I wouldn't read the book if I wasn't a fan of the Mighty Boosh. Like, I wouldn't just be like, oh, what's this book? Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But an extension? I don't know.
Yeah, it's definitely an extension.
A masterpiece.
The Holy
Grail. It's an amazing book. If you're a fan, first off, check out the TV show, but then read the book. Because I'm trying to think of the best way to describe it.
The Holy Grail of the Mighty Boosh.
The Holy Grail of the Mighty Boosh, perhaps.
There you go.
The Mighty Boosh in book form.
Yeah.
Would you be able to give a rating to this book?
Two thumbs up.
Two thumbs?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. You read the whole fucking thing?
Yeah.
I thought Monty Python had the Holy Grail.
Either way, it's just kind of a whole thing. But no, I'm just saying, like, in this sense, you had... Oh, right, you're not in college anymore. You motherfucker.
Well, I've read pieces here and there and there and there and there. I haven't finished the complete thing.
You actually read this.
Yeah, I read the Christmas Toy Story on the radio.
It scared a lot of people.
Yeah. But I had to change words here and there because some of them weren't FCC friendly.
Oh.
Now,
that's the beauty of doing this show. Yeah. You can say it. Fuck the FCC.
Yeah.
Fuck the establishment system.
And I was just reading, too, that the Mighty Boosh are working on a movie.
Yes, I heard about this.
It's called Tater Tots.
No, it's not.
It's called Be Fucking Afraid.
It's called We're Gonna Punch Anvil in the Face.
Listen, you're high enough to hit me in the face.
Oh. Ooh. The way that she's sitting right now with you, I think...
Yeah, but she hit me a minute ago, and...
I'll take him.
If it's to defend the Boosh.
I'll defend the Boosh.
She'll defend her Boosh.
I defend.
Wow, and then you went dirty again.
God damn it.
You can blame that one on me.
Look, you know what? Nenya, you wanna fight? We'll go fight. But just remember, I'm like Milan Lucic.
Lucic?
No, Lucic. He's different. He's his cousin.
Oh.
I was doing it as a joke. But you didn't catch on to the joke.
I didn't.
Because I made that joke earlier.
Nope.
Remember we were talking about it before? I forget.
All right. Now, you wanted to talk about a TV show.
Yes. And I'm actually really, really depressed.
Why?
Because I got into the show, and I started watching maybe about 2 months ago, and then the series ended. So I actually caught up on all 8 seasons of it. Fuck you, Blue. Don't give me
No, I'm just saying, what fucking movie... I mean, what show is this?
You guys are gonna laugh at me, but it's Monk.
Monk's pretty good.
Tony Shalhoub.
Tony Shalhoub is the man.
You know, I started from a little bit into it. I was confused. So when they actually had a Monk marathon for a whole weekend, I watched all 8 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I figured it out by episode, 80, who the killer was.
He lost count.
Mm-hmm.
And, I was online and in a forum about it, and I said it, and I was told by a few people that I was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And now I get to go back on and say, fuck you bitches, I was right. Ha! Because they found evidence that Monk's wife was, you know, her assassination was ordered by a guy named the Judge.
Oh.
Okay. And, like, you know, he's been spent 12 years trying to solve it. And people that don't know about Monk is he is a neat freak. He's like
obsessive compulsive, right?
Thank you. Yeah. Everything needs to be perfect. Well, near the end, what ends up happening is they need a search warrant, so they go to the a judge's house to get him to sign. Mm-hmm. And he says that the governor called and said he's probably going to go to the Supreme Court. And I'm sitting there smiling. I'm like, that's that little motherfucker. I know it's him. And then all of a sudden, the hit's put out on Tony Shalhoub, the guy sitting in the office, and you recognize the voice. I'm like, I was right! I was right! And the killer who tried to kill Tony Shalhoub, killed his wife, guess who played him?
Who?
Craig T. Nelson.
Ooh.
No fucking way.
Coach?
The coach.
Hello. Oh, come on, coach! Put me in the game!
Shut up!
Yeah, exactly.
The warden from My Name is Earl as well.
That's right. Yes, and yes. A lot of people, I had one guy going on.
And wasn't he also in the district?
Yes. But one guy that was online arguing with, he goes online, he's like, I was so surprised, I didn't see that coming. I'm like, you fucking retard, I told you 3 days ago. No, you're still wrong. Dude, how am I wrong? You just watched the episode. Fuck you!
This is why I don't like going on forums. I can't trust or even say anything. Otherwise, there is a childish douchebag that's on the other end trying to prove everybody wrong and try to say...
That's probably only 12 years old.
Actually, I'm going to raise my hand right now and say that I am one of those people. I will get into the argument.
Jeez, thanks, Anvil, you giant douche.
Shut up.
Don't ever talk to Anvil on a forum.
Exactly.
No, because I was having a conversation about Sons of Anarchy with, a couple of real fans, and somebody chimes in. And he's like, oh, fuck you, this dude needs to die off. And it's like, dude, Ron Perlman's character does not need to die off. It's like, the show is almost nothing without him.
Do you message people asking for their A/S/L?
No. I don't care about that. And then all of a sudden, one of them, the same kid's like, well, you know what? You're my bitch. I'm like, dude.
Yeah.
Here's me. Here's you. You're my bitch.
I'm sitting here thinking, I'm like, what? Somebody's like, how fucking old are you? And he's like, 47. I'm like, so I turned into the big jerk. I'm like, yo, your mom's my dirty little whore. I go visit her in the nursing home.
Okay.
And the guy's like, that's not nice.
Yeah, exactly.
Anvil, you're not very nice on the internet.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, anyways.
Well, you know what? When you come at me and call me your little bitch, I'm not going to be a nice guy. But you know what? Sons of Anarchy and Monk are two awesome shows, and I'm actually really depressed because Sons of Anarchy ended for the season.
Yeah.
It should be back, right?
Right.
Hopefully.
Yeah, it'll be back.
But I'm also kind of really angry because I went to buy a Sons of Anarchy hat. Basically, it's the one that Jax Teller wears. It's all black. It says Reaper Crew on.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't find it anywhere, so I went to eBay and I found it. I laughed my ass off. They're selling for like $103. It's an all-black hat that has a couple words. I could buy an all-black hat for $15, go to a guy, have it etched on for
$10. Well, do it up.
I am, but still, people are paying like $103. I'm thinking about maybe, getting a whole bunch made and selling them on eBay.
Yeah.
Craigslist it.
Either way.
Hey, those Zuzu pads are going for $150 on eBay, so I reckon someone's going to want to pay $100 for a hat like that.
Wow.
I wouldn't pay.
Wow. Yeah,
well, I think $20 is too much for a hat.
Mm-hmm. Unless it was autographed.
Well, that's different. I wouldn't wear that hat.
Man, touche.
I think we could stick a fork in this motherfucker, right?
Yeah, we apologize if this episode's a lot quicker than most episodes, but we got a lot going on because Blornik, myself, Anvil, Pandalicious, and a few others are going to head on over to the gun range.
Yes. Yeah, and then we're going to go to Texas Roadhouse before me and Blue go to work at Diamante's nightclub on Baldwin and Lynn.
See, I'm kind of jealous I'm not going to the gun range, but at the same time, I'm kind of not, because I'm going to the Bruins game, bitches. help. No. Do not tip me over.
We will. You okay?
I'm okay. I'm a little emotionally distressed now, but I'm okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway,
it's okay.
I'm not sitting next to him ever again.
Yeah, sit next to me next time.
It's okay.
At least it's not a snaggletooth hug.
Don't fucking remind me.
By a giant wolf.
Polar bear.
Either way. Anyways, okay, let's end this motherfucker.
All right, remember, check out our website at bostonbastardbrigade.com. Hook us up at the email at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com for feedback and requests for topics and things to review. Also, I figured you wanted to read this part, the Ash?
Oh, we could talk about our sister site.
Yeah.
The Electric Sisterhood, which is at esh.mobi. That's esh.mobi.
Excellent. For another side of news, reviews, and their own podcast show.
Can I plug my blog?
Yep.
Yay!
Go ahead.
Blog. I have a vlog, I should say, on YouTube. My username is NeoQueen157. So it's NeoQueen157. And you should be seeing me on the Bastard Brigade website pretty soon.
Yep, we'll be posting those videos very, 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 very shortly.
And you get to see my pretty face.
And don't forget, when you're watching our show and she waves at the beginning, wave back, she might just see you.
No.
You're fucking it's a joke. Crackhead.
No. I was at work and I was watching it, and somebody walked in and she waved at the screen and they waved back. I'm like, aren't you using a webcam?
You were watching my vlog at work?
I was going through it and I found it.
How'd you find it?
I Googled us.
Oh. Yeah.
Just to see what was going
on.
Oh,
yeah, I put the Boss of Ash Brigade in the subject
line. But there's nothing else that we don't know about us, so.
Yeah.
I check once a week.
Okay, cool.
And just remember, everybody, support your local artists, you know. They're out here, and if you don't find them, nobody else will. And, you know, that's where some of your best musicians and comedians came from, is the smallest places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so get out there and check them out. And remember, support your local organizations like the American Red Cross, your Cancer Institutes, and the United States Marine Corps Toys for Tots.
Yeah, and this is the Christmas season. It's the season of giving.
You know, go to a Toys R Us, pick up a little toy, throw it in the box. Or even if you're from the Boston area, Boston Globe Santa, the Lint Item Santa, they help out a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, every kid deserves a toy to open on Christmas.
Definitely. Unless they're really, really bad.
Yeah, if, you know, your name's Adolf Hitler and, you know, you don't deserve a present.
Because he's dead.
Yeah, I thought last time we checked he was in hell getting pineapples shoved up his ass.
There is that child over in Nebraska whose name was Adolf Hitler, and his sister was named Aryan Nation, remember?
Oh, poor little fucker.
Oh.
Their version of DSS, you know, which is, you know, child welfare, found out his parents went to have Adolf Hitler put on his birthday cake. Happy birthday, Adolf Hitler.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right, I'm done. Fuck it. Let's kill you, bitch.
Like we say, you know, just support all your organizations. They're out here to help.
Mm-hmm.
And especially with this economy, we all need some help sometimes.
Yeah.
And don't forget your soup kitchens, you know. They feed the homeless and help families around the holidays. You know, basically, all you ever hear about them is around the holiday time, but they feed people all year.
Every year.
You know, every day somebody needs a meal. So, you know, help them out.
Awesome. All right, so let's close the podcast. Until next time, this is King Baby Duck.
Good
luck.
And then, yeah.
This is Angel.
Saying sayonara, bitches.
We are the Bastards.
Peace, bitch.